seconds.
One time for the underdog.
One time for the underdog.
Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick Bet-David, and today we're actually going to talk about what you can do to inspect your business and find ways to improve it.
Nothing improves in life unless if you inspect it regularly, and I mean nothing. So take any area of your life. For me, I'll give you an example. 90 days ago, I did not like where I was at with my body weight and my energy. I weighed 257 pounds, and I've never made 257 pounds, ever. I went to a doctor, we spent 4 hours together, we did testing, we got every single thing I can get on myself, my body fat percentage, my body mass index, water, you know, how much fat my body carries, what muscle do I need to have, every single triglycerides, every single detail we can possibly do. He made the recommendations. Recommendations were made. I'm supposed to implement with the recommendations that were made. So whatever those recommendations were, no grains, no, you know, all this other stuff that I went through. Fast forward 90 days later, I went this morning. I ended up losing 24 pounds. I'm at 233 right now. I haven't weighed 233 since 2006. But the reason why that my energy is just off the charts, why? Because I inspected it. If I don't inspect it, that's not gonna happen. The same goes with your relationships, the same goes with your business, the same goes with your life, the same goes with your finances. Back in the days in 2003, my credit score was terrible. Every single month, I mean every single month, I started running my credit score. Every month, on the 19th of the month, I ran my credit score. Every month, I read all my reports and found out what wasn't supposed to, you know what was. Year, 2 years, 3 years later, my credit score went from a 489 to an 822. Why, again, inspecting? So today I'm gonna talk about how to inspect your business. Again, this question is probably one of the most common comments that we get. Pat, how do you inspect your business? Now, prior to me getting into this, I wanna tell you I got a surprise for you at the end, because this actually requires you to have a PDF to print out and have access to. So stay tuned, watch the entire video, because you do wanna have this PDF to do it exactly with your own business. That I'll tell you how I do it myself. It's a very, very extensive PDF that I'll help you out with. So, inspecting your business, how often do I do this? I do this full day once a year. And another time per year, it's like every 6 months or so, I'll do it for half a day. We'll sit down, we'll go through a few things on what we need to improve, and we'll improve it. But once a year, when I inspect this, is a full day, maybe 2 days, that will inspect it for the business. And then it's multiple businesses and it's multiple parts of my life when I'm doing my life planning and my business planning. So let's get right into it. How to inspect your business. First of all, there are 12 different categories that I have here. And every one of them is tied to a number and a goal, every single one of them. So you see on the left side here is numbers and goals. And then here is a different categories to inspect within your business. I'll explain every single one of them to you and I'll tell you how I do this. So first one is team. What is a team? So when I look at my team, who do I need? Who am I missing? What department needs help? What department needs a leader? What department needs support? What department doesn't need people? What department do I need to fire the weakest link that slows everybody else down? But I look at the team within different departments. When I look at my team, I score the team between 0 to 10. How good do you feel about your team? Now, by the way, you can score teams and getting even more detail. Your team could be your assistant. Your team could be, you know, your executives, your sales force. It could be many different things. But I score my team. Then once I score my team, I write the good, bad, ugly. So let's just say the score is 5. I write the good is these two people have grown a lot from last year to this year. And I'll put two names down. The bad is we still don't have somebody that knows how to do dot, dot, dot. The ugly is this one department is a disaster this year. We gotta do something about this department. Great. Then in this category, I write my 3 actionable items. So what am I gonna be doing? I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna do this. Now, this is tied to numbers and goals. So my goal is to hire 3 people, 2 in this department, 1 in this department, fire this person. Number, goal. Number 2. The number that I'm gonna do is, my expectation of this team is for them to do $600,000 in the next 2 weeks, whatever the number may be for your business. Great, there's a goal. So every box will have a number and a goal tied to it when it comes down to the actionable items. So first one is team, second one is sales flow. How's my sales flow looking? So I'll go through a look at the sales cycle, right? Where does the customer come in? Once the customer comes in, what options do they have? Is it pretty easy for them to know what next steps to take? Do they find us pretty well? Do we do a good job of selling them? Do we do a good job of presenting them? Do we do a good job of going through the sales flow part? Do the people know the products that they're selling to them? Is it pretty easy? Do we sell it in a simple way? Can it be found easy? So I'm gonna look through my sales flow, and the sales flow could be, you know, we have a video I did. It's called the sales process video. Why don't we put a picture? What's the title of that video, by the way? How to improve your sales process, something like that. Why don't we put the link here so they know what it looks like? You can go find it. I look at that sales flow, the sales process, on how I can improve it. Again, same exact thing. Score 0 to 1 to 10. Write down your good, bad, ugly, and your 3 actionable items. The next one is systems and procedures. So systems and procedures. What is the system that we have in a company for hiring? Meaning, when you sit down and you hire somebody, what questions do you ask in the hiring? How is the firing protocol? How do we fire somebody? Who fires somebody? How is the exit interview? What do we do with an exit interview? What opportunities do we give to them? How do we let them go? What is the system when we have a complaint coming in? What is the system that we have when we have a question coming in? What is the system that we have when we have a good story coming in? What is the system procedure that we have when we recruit somebody that we're putting them in a department that's processing or compliance or operations or, you know, human what is the system for them to learn? So if I bring a new hire, how is the new hire gonna learn about our company? How is the new hire gonna be injected to culture? What process do they go through for orientation? Those are my systems and processes. Then the process comes down to, you know, areas on the back end that I'm looking at with the processes and the technology and the CRM, and is our CRM doing a good job? Can we get a better CRM? How is the software that we're using? Do we need to enhance the software? What area of the software we're not using at all? So make a list of the 20 different areas in this software that we use and which ones do we not use, rank them. Why do we have these things? Why don't we eliminate it? What can we enhance? These are all questions I'm asking about systems and processes. Next is, again, by the way, you're doing the same exact thing here. Scores 1 to 10, good, bad, ugly. Then your 1, 2, 3 actionable items tied to numbers and goals. Then it's partners. I write down partners. How are our partners doing? Now keep in mind, I have partners here and I have vendors over here. Partners and vendors are different. Partner is somebody that I have worked with generally for 3 years or more. Once somebody I work with for 3 years or more who is vested on wanting to improve the relationship, they're investing money and they're vested in wanting to improve the relationship, that becomes a partner to me. Then I'll ask, how's a partner doing with us? Are they servicing properly? Is it getting better? What can we do to make this partnership better? So in the partnership category, I will make a list of all our partners. So let's just say it's 5 of them. How is this one doing? So the scoring on each one is gonna be different because it's 5 partners. How's the good, bad, ugly of each partnership? What 3 actionable items do I have about each partnership that I need to talk to them when I have a conversation with them? So I put that together. And then I'll say, this partnership, has the numbers gone up? Has it gone down? Why has it gone down? Is it our fault? Is it their fault? What is it that their processes hasn't improved? What are some things they're maybe not happy with us that we can improve? And have we improved on it? Have we delivered on our promises? I'm looking at that with our partners. Then areas that my expectation of the partners. What do I need to go and negotiate with the partners? What conversations do I need to have with the partners? I'm having those types of conversations. I'm writing down on which partners I need to speak to again. That's the other area I inspect. Next one, customer service. How is our customer service, right? Is our customer service good? Are we way too aggressive? Are we listening to the customers? Do we become too offensive too early? Is it our way of selling? Is it a way that the customer is happy? What is the experience we're giving to our customers? What is the words that we're using? Is it more of a script or is it more of an experience? What is the difference between a customer service and a customer experience? Are we doing a good job teaching customer experience and customer service? Are we doing a good job taking care of our clients in a way that we're getting more referrals? So I break that down and I find out about the 5 least happiest clients that we had this year. Why were they not happy? What did they do? Out of the 5, let's just say 1 of them was just a rant. They just were unhappy, but nothing made them happy. You can see the trend. Everybody is unhappy. Everybody's unhappy with that one client. Great. But the other 2 had valid points. And these other 2 had questions that we never answered. Why don't we call these 2? Let's find out a little bit more. Let's let them teach us about our customer service. Tell us what you're not happy about. What happened? We want to learn. We want to improve. Would you mind sharing that with us? Yes, great. and then giving them something just to share their feedback with you. Let's improve in this area. We got to get better in this customer service area. We ranked up and we try to improve that. This is probably one of the most important ones and one of the most difficult ones because it's an area you don't have control in, but it's an area that when you're running and gunning, you forget to do this sometimes. You need to do it. The sooner you can do it, the better it is. Again, same exact exercise. 1 to 10, good, bad, ugly, 3 actionable items. Brand. How's the brand doing? What does a brand mean? What does the market see our brand as? It is improved. Is it improving? Is it getting into every single household? What is the meaning of our brand? What's the story behind our brand? Tell me about the brand. We sit down and say, what do you think about when you think about the company? If I were to ask you, what do you think about Valuetainment? What are things that would come to your mind? What would you say about the brand Valuetainment? What would you say? You would teach us. So I would sit there in a meeting and say, guys, what do you think about the company? What does the company mean to you? Can you tell me what our mission statement means to you? And I want to see the heart. I don't want to see the logical side. I want to hear them. Because based on their answer, I'll realize, man, we're too logical. Why are we so logical? Why do we get away from the initial mission statement of the company? Have we forgotten what it was all about? Well, then maybe if we've forgotten what it was all about, then it's my fault. I got to take the responsibility because I'm the leader. What are we doing over here? We got to get better with the brand. So then the same thing with the brand, what it means, breaking it down, going into it, looking at every aspect of the brand, looking at everything with the website, social media, all parts of it, then same thing. Score 1 to 10, good, bad, ugly, 3 actionable items to improve in it. Next one, skills. Let me explain skills. So skills for me is not just one-dimensional. Let me explain to what I mean by skills. So skills to me is, first of all, most important is me. How am I going to improve my skill set? How am I going to become a better CEO? So for instance, I just went to Harvard Business School, their OPM program, Owner President Management program. I was with them for 3 weeks, and I'm going there next year and the following, a 3-year program. And I'm around everybody in the room, network, give or take, $20 billion combined with 144 of us out of 14. Only 14 from America, 60 different countries. So why go over there? What skills do I need to improve in? Okay? You know, what areas do I need to improve in? Do I need to get better at operations and find somebody that's strong in operations? Do I need to learn the ratios better? Do I need to understand the finances better? Do I need to understand development better? Do I need to understand expansion better? What are some areas I need to improve in? A lot of times, the most challenging thing with skills with you, the leader, is you think you're good enough already. That's the biggest challenge, I would say. You think you're already there. You think you've already arrived. You think you're already good enough to take the company to the next level, and you're not. The Patrick that got his business to $100,000 a year revenues couldn't get the company to $500,000. He had to change and improve. Then $500,000 to $1 million needs to change. Then $1 million to $2 million, $2 million to $5 million, $5 million to $10 million, $10 million to $20 million, $20 million to $50 million, $50 million to $100 million. There is a part of recreating yourself, right? So skill set starts with myself, what I need to improve in. Then my main executives and leaders, what do they individually need to improve in? So I'll take the skill sets of them and really assess it. And sometimes you don't like doing this because it's time consuming, but one, they will appreciate it so much that you put time into it. Two, the company is gonna grow. So if you think you're gonna wing it, sometimes some people are blinded by their skills. It requires the coach and the leader to say, you have a little bit of a thing here you got to work on. This is not helping you in a business. And the last time you had to work on this, you did. Your income went up, your business grew, you hit your goal. So let's make sure we improve in this area. So again, skill starts with me, then my main core executives, then my customer service operations, what skills can we improve in? Then what area do we need to improve in on the sales side? What area? And every single thing, it goes skills. How to. Then from that area, I either read the books that we need to give and assign to those people, an article, a video, a movie, a speaker, a consultant, a keynote, it doesn't matter. We need to improve in audacity. We go bring somebody that's about audacity. For instance, we brought Grant Cardone. We need to improve in seeing the vision about capitalism. Boom, we bring somebody that talks about capitalism. We need to improve entrepreneurship and seeing that anybody can go from nothing to somebody. Magic Johnson's a keynote speaker. We need to go and improve the area of management and overcoming conflicts and all this crucial conversations. We need to figure out a way to get better in, you know, dealing with issues and systems. Let's go bring Howard. It doesn't matter what it is. We're constantly looking at skills that needs to improve, then figuring out tools to add to improve the skill set. So score, good, bad, ugly, 1, 2, 3 actionable items. Next, expansion. Expansion is, what market do you want to get into that you're not in right now? Okay. You know, when we first started our agency, our insurance agency, we were all in Northridge, California, one office, 66 agents. And we wanted to expand and grow from one state to two states. So we went to Florida, expansion. I sent one of our executives over to Florida, right? And then from there, when Chad went to Florida working with John, then we said, how about we go into different markets? Then we put our plan of action together, our strategy together on which markets we wanted to get into. So then we put our plan of action together, and then all of a sudden we went from two states to five to 10 to 20 to 30 to 40. I think we're in 44, 45 states right now. By the end of the year, we'll be all states, right? But that's because we have to talk about expansion. And I see a lot of times the entrepreneur sometimes, one, thinks about expansion too early and loses the penetration that he has locally, or they never think about it. And they just hope it happens accidentally. Both ways, there's a flaw. Meaning, if you have three people or five people or small sales force, you don't want to all of a sudden spread everybody thin and say, you go over here, you go over here, you go over here. You're all of a sudden thin. It's like military. You don't want to go to war and tell your generals you got, you know, 200 soldiers. You tell 10 go here, 10 go there, 10 go here, 10 go there. And it's like 10 soldiers went to 10 different places. All of a sudden, 70 got killed because they're too weak. Because they faced 600 soldiers in one area. You don't want to flank it like that. So you go and expand and take your army from 100 to, let's just say, 350. Then you move 50, right? And then you move. So you need to also know about expansion timing. Is it the right time for me to expand? Is this person ready to go into a new market? Are we ready to take this product into a new market? Do we want to go into the state? What are the top metropolitan cities? Is our product tailored to a metropolitan city, or is our product tailored to a second tier city that we want to get into that's not maybe a top 20 metropolitan city? What is it? So you got to sit there and really think about expansion. You got to think about that. Then again, same exact thing. 1 to 10, good, bad, ugly, 3 actionable items. Then I have culture. Culture every single year. So culture is something that, you know, it goes back to the same thing. The culture goes back to brand. Brand and culture are very similar, but to me, culture sometimes, the further you get away from it and you no longer go circulate amongst the troops, culture disappears. It is very important for you to circulate amongst your troops for the culture to stay intact. So I'm going to sit there and say, what was the culture in the first year? What is the culture in the second year? What is the culture in the third year? And we continue. Because the basic thing I'll tell you, like, what is the difference between a cult and a difference between a culture? Here's the difference. A cult is all predicated on a cult leader. A culture is no longer predicated on a cult leader. So maybe you went from being a cult because everything was dependent on you, and you're no longer a cult. Now you are a culture, because a cult leader can be disappearing. And the question is, if the cult leader dies, will the culture continue, right? And hopefully there's been duplication taking place with other people taking the culture to the next level where this is no longer needed. It becomes a figurehead or a voice. But the more you're touching the culture, the thicker it gets and the more social capital it creates. And then there's a part you're talking, are we evolving? Are we adapting? Are we still the same old? Sometimes bigger companies, their problem is their culture is a 50 culture where it's, yeah, we're still using DOS. We're old school with this. Well, maybe old school doesn't work because the person you're trying to attract is not turned on by old school. So are you paying attention to that? So who do you want as a customer? Are they going to be interested in your culture that hasn't adapted yet? So the culture requires a lot of due diligence. I did a video once. I think it's called 24 Ways to Improve Your Culture.
To build a company culture, yeah.
To build a company culture. Let's put the picture again, image up here again, so you can see it, on how to improve your culture. And by the way, I get into very, very vivid details on how I worked on the culture myself. Compliance. Boring. No one likes compliance, right? This keeps you in business. Every business has compliance. You got to get the best compliance people working with you. Best of them. Even when I was smaller and I was running a sales shop out of a Granada Hills office, and it was not the best area where we got our office. A couple times there was a drive-by. We had a legalized marijuana joint where they were not only selling marijuana, they were selling cocaine and other things out of this place. So anybody that would come into our office, you would just smell the marijuana. Maybe that's why people bought easily from us. I don't know what it is. Maybe that kind of helped out a little bit. But compliance was something I invested in because it kept me in business. Sometimes if you're the marketer and you're a sales guy and you're going a million miles an hour and everything is sell, let's just make it, let's sell, and you're not hitting compliance, you're all of a sudden creating an avalanche of compliance problems that you need to put up with 2 years from now that you could have solved the sooner you touched up on compliance. So don't skip this too quickly. This is very, very critical to know exactly what compliance issues you have. Same exact exercise you need to put up with compliance. And sometimes compliance will have to do with hiring new team members. Keep that part in mind. Next, vendors. Vendors are people I'm doing business with, that I'm transacting with, I'm paying them, they're a vendor, and I'm seeing which of these vendors can possibly become partners. And which of the vendors do I need to fire? There's a vendor this year I'm firing. I am not happy with this vendor. That person's gonna get a personal phone call and you're fired. Because it's just, not, I'm not happy with the way sometimes vendors, and I hope my vendors are watching this, by the way. You know who you are, because some of my partners and vendors, some of you guys watch all these videos and you message me afterwards and we got the point, great. If you're watching this, vendors, I hope you're seeing this. I love vendors who have aspirations of becoming partners. I have a very big problem with vendors who've already done business with you two or three times and they've gotten $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 out of you, let's just say $1 million out of you because you've done business with them. So now they think it's on, automatic, that you're gonna say yes every single time and they can now upsell you by 10% or 15% or just hidden commission stuff because you're already doing business with them. I have a very big problem with that. And every time this has happened, someone gets fired. Every single time, someone gets fired. So vendors, I'm looking at which of them do I need to have a very private conversation with and tell them exactly what my expectation of them is moving forward. And I will have those conversations with vendors. I will have those conversations with vendors. And then sometimes the vendor's doing such a great job that I tell them, I said, look, I'm really hoping that we can get over here. And I tell them what it's gonna take to go from here to here. If we do this, then you become a partner. And when you become a partner, you know, we endorse you. Once we endorse you, everybody goes through. And sometimes partners get demoted to vendors as well, by the way. Then last but not least is competition, okay? Competition. So competition may be what new, you know, competitors are getting into the marketplace. What is the barrier to enter today? How are regulations looking for us to go against the bigger guys? What bigger competitors are buying a presidential campaign or nominee and funding them because they're hoping to add a new regulation or a law that's gonna prevent us to compete with the bigger guys? I mean, we study all this stuff. You know, you don't build a $1 billion company accidental. You need to know that these guys that are up there, the bigger competitors don't want you to grow. Their wish is for you to go out of business. Listen, they're dreaming you'll go out of business today. You know who you are, you're my competitor, you're watching this. Many of you watch as my competitors. You are praying we go out of business today, right? But we study you as well. We know how powerful you are. And sometimes you gotta see who's coming up from here, who's coming up from here, who's getting down, who's kind of getting out of the game, who decided to get out of the certain product that you're in, they don't wanna touch it anymore, and why? What price point are they being sold? You know, what is the price point right now? Kind of like the comparables. What is the company's value? Because somebody's company was sold for $17 billion, so automatically raises your valuation of your company. All of those things you pay attention to with competitors. Which one of them are calling you? Who wants to go from a competitor to a partner? Some of these competitors see you and say, I don't want to compete with you, man. Can we become partners? How can we become partners? Then you know there's possibly a relationship there, so there's proper due diligence and investigation. It's pretty detailed here with the competition side as well. And then boom, same thing. Numbers and goals that you do. By the way, this once a year takes a full day. Once a year takes a full day. And it's well worth it. It'll make you millions if you do it properly. This, another time you do, 6 months, it's an overview. Because you're debriefing what you did for the full day. Then you're just recapping and going through the points and you're marking off, we need to adjust, are we doing this, we're not doing this. This one, we highlight which actionable items you already hit, which one's close. Sending emails saying, guys, remember earlier this year we talked about this, we are this far off. Update, 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 and then boom, okay? So once a year, full day, second time, inspect, email where everybody's at so everyone knows what the goals are with this. So again, this is a full day course. I can do this full day course, but here's what I want you to know about. I have a PDF that I have my team produce that has this formatting on a sheet of paper for you to score yourself, then questions underneath it with the good, bad, and ugly, and your 1, 2, 3 that you can go print and download for free. There's no cost to it. Some people would pay, you know, hundreds of dollars. There's a lot of online people that would pay hundreds of dollars for this. Purely free. You need to go to patrickbaydavid.com, come to my website, and under find this video, just type in inspect in the search, and a video will come up. You'll have a downloadable item, PDF on the bottom to see this. Print it out. Go through it yourself with your business as you inspect it. Then send me a message once you do this. And if you have any questions or comments or thoughts about it, comment on the bottom. And last but not least, be sure to subscribe to this channel. We are this close. Listen, this close to 100,000 subs, and we would not get here without your help. And many of you, I personally want to thank, who are getting their entire teams to subscribe to this. We're so excited about all these projects we have coming up over the next 3-6 months, bunch of collaborations that you'll be excited about. But please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Mario, good catch. And everybody else, this is how I inspect my business. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bidavid. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.